Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. This is episode 42. I'm Shay Northrup.
And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And we're going to be talking about some internet access, robots that plow driveways, Netflix, and the dreaded AT&T buying Time Warner. Why don't you start us off, John?
Now, here's an interesting question for everybody out there in internet land. I'm sorry. Now, the question is this. Now, there's been this giant conversation about how people should have access to internet. Now, the question is, would you like it to be like a utility? You know, say really heavy government oversight, what they can and can't do. Would you like it what it currently does? Or what England and some places within England are planning on doing? What it's called the Universal Service Obligation. What it is when ensuring qualifying applicants are able to request a new connection to be provided at an affordable cost. So, for example, in the United States here, if you want fast internet, or matter of fact, if you want any internet in some rural areas, it's really expensive. There's a satellite internet company up where I live that for 40 gigs a month, you're paying like $100 and something.
Wow.
And so it is not cheap. So what this would be, if you actually qualify for this, it's a minimum requirement of 10 megabits a second. Yeah, you heard me right. 10 megabits a second. In some places around here, that's high speed internet in the United States. So this is being something that's being voted on in some local councils throughout England and Wales. Now, currently, British Telecom, for example, offers subsidized phone and broadcast packages to qualified consumers, but the LGA proposal would require all providers to offer similar services part of UK's government universal service obligation. Now, this would be paid for in taxes and tariffs and probably some sort of VAT tax. Now, what they're saying is something I think Shay and I definitely agree on, is good digital connectivity is a vital element of everyday life for residents and can help cut household bills, shop for online cheaper goods, and stay in touch with people. Now, what do you think, Shay?
I like the idea of net neutrality in theory. So I would kind of probably go more that along that line. But I do really despise how the internet works here in the States. I don't really like the idea of the government getting involved.
So you're not a big fan of the utility type of thing?
Yes. I'm not a big fan of that. But at the same time, I do think that there are some government regulations already on internet services that make it a problem for everybody anyway.
So when you say net neutrality, what do you mean? Because
net neutrality is where they cannot block your content. They're not allowed to. So if you're like, they can't push revenue towards other sites, essentially.
So basically,
they can't slow down your content based on what you're looking at.
So basically what you're saying is they're a platform and they have to be agnostic that anything comes through their pipes, as it were.
Yes, exactly.
And so if you guys aren't familiar, what a lot of people do, a lot of ISPs and stuff do in the United States is there's a cap. And say Comcast, AT&T, Time Mobile, Warner, name the actual ISP. What they'll do is they'll say, we have this new online video streaming service that we know you'll love. So you can watch as much of our content on this streaming service as you want. But if you watch YouTube, that's going to go towards your cap. And that's not uncommon here at all.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I kind of also hate that, like, the state or a county can't set up their own internet service. I think that's a little ridiculous.
And this is something that's harming Google, for example. What Google usually does is they go alongside the government, the agencies and the county and say, hey, we would like to do this. Now, what people are using against this is they're saying, oh, no, you can't do this. You're setting up your own internet when it is against the law to do so.
It's really funny, too. I had a teacher back in the day when we were talking, because there was a big debate about net neutrality in the Supreme Court a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember this. But
not really.
I had a teacher in college who was saying, if they don't pass net neutrality, if net neutrality doesn't become a thing, somebody needs to just build a new internet. And I'm like, okay.
Well, in theory, I don't think it would be building a new internet. It would just be going back to a BBS.
Yeah.
You may be a little too young for this.
No, there are still people that actually go out of their way to build those still.
If you guys don't know what it is, it's pretty much what it is it's basically a bulletin board system. That's what BBS actually stands for. And you would call into somebody's computer. And back in the day, what that would be is it would have your email sometimes. It would be a Usenet. I think that's what you call it.
Yeah.
Place you can download. You can communicate to people. And this is how back in the day you would actually contact people online, was be, you know, dial in. And the bad side about this, though, is it would go towards your phone rate. So AT&T would love to charge you for long distance calls into bulletin board systems.
Oh, yeah. And not just that, but super slow speeds, really slow download times.
No, I like the idea of the utility type of internet because in theory, it would be heavily regulated in the fact that Comcast, Netflix, whoever couldn't do these packages like I talked about, saying that you can go to certain websites and it will go against your cap. On the other hand, does that mean more censorship?
That's what I'm mostly afraid of. I'm afraid of censorship, and I am afraid that it might turn into, so like with SMUD, which is our electric bill, it goes to how much you use.
Mm-hmm.
And how much you use can really affect your bill. I don't want that to be the same thing for... I like flat rates when it comes to internet because I use the internet a lot.
Well, see, here's the interesting thing. I totally agree with you up until recently where Xfinity/Comcast put a 1 terabyte monthly cap on everybody.
Yes.
That's not too far away from what the power company does. Now, you could argue that caps are arbitrary on the internet because it's not costing them a whole lot of money because they've paid for their equipment. They've done all the costs. Now, is this something they're saying, okay, we're going to have to do this down the road to pay for upgrades? I mean, that conversation can definitely be had.
I think they definitely make more money than they need, though. For $50 a month, and almost everybody uses either Xfinity or AT&T, I think they're fine.
Now, the other reason I like the utility idea is because in my neck of the woods in Northern California, there's a lot of areas that just don't have internet access because for Comcast, AT&T, whoever, it's not worth it. Dragging a line would not be financially worth it. Now, if it was a utility company, however, they could do it and they could still make money on it, but it would behoove them via the government forcing them to drag the internet out there. That's
right.
One of the reasons I like that, because I have people who are pretty much on 14.4.
Right.
And so that's another reason I like it. Now, this idea, at least done by the UK government that they're considering, I like because, honestly, internet is kind of expensive. Now, if there's people I know who don't have a whole lot of money, who want cheap internet that's actually worth a darn, I think this is perfect. I am totally for anything that helps people to better their lives.
And one of the things that I think is interesting, too, is if you look at, like, local internet companies and that sort of thing, they're usually really expensive.
They definitely can be. I know there's some wireless internet providers out where I live, or WIPs, that are expensive, but they're worth it in the fact that it's the only way you can get true high-speed internet. Now, this
right.
is basic. There's a couple of ways they do it. Usually what it is, it's site-to-site. So they have a big dish that just basically radiates a ton of internet, and there's another dish, you receive it, you know, stuff like that.
A lot of satellite internet is used in rural areas.
Yeah, which, by the way, is horrible for anything. So we'll definitely see how this turns out. I do think the net neutrality is not over in the United States, no matter what anybody says. I do think this is going to be a battle that's going to happen very soon again, especially since ICANN has basically been surrendered over the UN. And that's a conversation that I think we should have down later down on the road when we find out what's going to happen more with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if you're not sure what ICANN is, basically it's the domain name server, more or less, of the internet. It's what controls the internet names, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So like, you know, bobshouseofmeat.com, for example.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll definitely see what happens. Now, we're coming up to a break. Now, when we come back for the break, we have some interesting things to talk about. One including everybody's favorite online media streaming site, Netflix.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm Shay Northrup.
And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And this is episode 42. Now, one of the things that's kind of interesting, we're going to talk a little bit about Netflix, is people seem to be liking Netflix's original content more than they like the other content that's on there.
I'm glad somebody is, because it ain't me.
So Netflix has been looking a lot different than what it was when it was founded in 1997, when it was just a way to get movies mailed to your door. And for that matter, it's looking a lot different than it did, I don't know, 3 years ago. It's really interesting. I remember in 2012 when I first got Netflix that there was just so much content on there. And a lot of it was really bad. You had to sift through a lot of garbage.
That's an understatement. There weren't a lot of AAA title holders that would give the rights over for Netflix to view it. So a lot of bad movie studios would say, hey, we know you want to watch, I don't know, Deadbeat Dad 25 type of thing.
Yeah, so there was a lot of, especially in the horror movie category, oh my gosh, Asylum Films definitely took advantage of Netflix in its early days. Now, one of the things that they've started doing now is they've changed up their strategy almost completely. So now what they're doing is, because they have competitors like HBO and Hulu, their prices are going up a little bit, for one thing, a couple dollars. But the library size has started to shrink. But one of the things that they're doing now is most of it is original content. So we've talked a little bit about this on the television podcast, I'm sure. But Netflix originals, on average, are getting 3.85 stars out of 5, while all of the other content are getting more like 3 stars, 3.4 stars, and that sort of thing. Which means that the Netflix rate for a original content is 11% higher on average than the user ratings for other syndicate content.
I don't know. I mean, some of their stuff is good. A lot of their originals, I definitely don't think is really aimed at me. I mean, I think there is some sci-fi. I think there's some sci-fi there.
Most of the Netflix original content is either Marvel or comedy based. A lot of it is shows about comedians.
Yeah, that was another thing I thought was weird, because I went through some of their what they called Netflix originals, and some of it is basically stuff that they found that nobody remembers or nobody has the rights to, and they scooped it up and called it a Netflix original.
A lot of the times with that, though, they build series like with Arrested Development, right? Netflix funded another season for them.
Well, this particularly was a comedian who I used to absolutely love back in the day, and the gentleman is no longer with us, and they bought the rights to it, I'm assuming, and basically stamped their name on top of it.
I haven't seen that.
Look up a lot of their comedy specials. A lot of them, well, at least a lot of them were basically baked over stuff that HBO specials, for example.
So one of the things that Netflix is doing their best on is their documentaries. So their documentaries are on an average of 4.07, And average documentaries are at 3.54. Now, Netflix doesn't have too many documentaries that they put out. They put out the Amanda Knox one, and they put out that show, Making a Murderer. And a lot of their documentaries seem to be murder-based. They have a few animal ones, but those seem to be doing really well, and they always do really well on TV anyway. And it seems like the Netflix content is 5.7% better than regular shows content, as far as ratings.
I'm not surprised about the documentary stuff, especially since like the History Channel is pretty much the bad reality show channel. They really picked up the slack in the part that everybody loves documentaries, everybody loves history. So I'm not surprised they're doing good in that, because nobody really seems to make really good documentaries anymore.
But it seems like Netflix has kind of picked up more television shows than anything else. As for movies, they haven't made too many movies by themselves.
Have they? Oh, that's true. They have. They had all those bad Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, they had those, and then they had a couple like Children of War and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Ridiculous Six.
Yeah. I don't know why they're actually funding Adam Sandler. I don't know if you know this, but for a really long time, and I'm sure it's still the case, making an Adam Sandler movie just to get him to write and direct a film costs enough to make like a high-budget action movie.
Maybe it's just me, but personally, I don't really like Adam Sandler. I was never really a big fan of his to begin with.
I liked a lot of his early stuff, but then more recently, like...
See, I never really liked any of his earlier stuff. Really, the only movies of his I've really liked, Waterboy was good, 51st Dates. There are a few others sprinkled out, but...
I like his movies when he's not the one directing or writing, because he always does the same tropes. There's always kids that need to learn, parents that need to learn that kids need to go out and be kids. That's usually a lot of his newer stuff.
Yeah, no, I just...
It's the same morals, the same people in every movie. He plays the same character. It's kind of cool when you get him to play stuff like in 51st Dates. And have you seen Punch Drunk Love?
No, that's actually on my list.
In Punch Drunk Love, he plays a completely different character. And I kind of wish that he would just do acting instead of directing and writing. I feel like if people put him in more serious roles, he could actually be kind of good.
See, here's what I want to see. I want to see Netflix go to Peter Jackson, Ron Howard, some of these AAA title directors and say, here's this much money, make whatever you want. No questions asked, as long as it's for us and us only.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Or go to...
I'm not sure how much money they would be making off of that, though.
Or for example, go to an up-and-coming director. Say there's an up-and-coming director who is just kind of peaking. He's gotten everybody's curiosity, but just doesn't have enough chutzpah to make a AAA title. Have Netflix go to him and say, we'll give you this much money to make whatever movie you want, but here's the deal. You know, there's always going to be strings attached to it.
That's essentially what they're doing.
But not with Adam Sandler. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, he's not the only one that they're doing that with, though. There's a lot of other people that they have been given opportunities with Netflix.
See, that's really what I want to see. But on the other hand, I'm not traditionally a big fan of comedies. I want to see a sci-fi movie. I want to see hard, bleeding-edge sci-fi. I want to see an action movie that's actually good and not some hashed over rebake of 1970s, 60s, or 80s movie.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of short films is the directors do that. Now, I want to see Netflix do that.
I have a website that I need to show you. It's called cursor.tv. I think you would really like it. It's a web series like channel.
Really?
For the internet. Like it's just a bunch of web series, and they're all sci-fi and action based. Now, going back to the point, one of the things that I think is really interesting, and I thought I'd bring it up to you, I read an article the other day talking about how all of the Jessica Jones episodes for season 2 are going to completely be directed by women and women only.
I read that, and here's my thought, and this may be a little bit controversial, and I'm truly sorry, is the fact if they're doing it just to do it and to be somewhat controversial, I don't like it. If they're doing it to highlight up-and-coming female directors who may not get a lot of press, I think it's a good move. I do think they're also doing it just to do it.
I think they're doing it for the publicity. Like, female directors are really popular right now in film because we haven't had a crazy ton of them in the past. Now, I think that it is kind of interesting to note, and I do like the idea because the show Jessica Jones does feature a lot of like feministic ideas, although I don't think it hammers them as hard as a lot of people like to think. Like, just because you're showing off men's bodies doesn't mean that your show is feminist, because 80s movies did that too. Like, you saw so many butts of dudes in 1980s movies.
But the side thing of that, I think, would be is it, I think it is kind of true in Jessica Jones that it's really, it's basically, it's coming from a female POV.
Yes.
And so a lot of it I could see, because if you actually watch the show, it's coming from her perspective. So of course it's going to be like that.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't think that it's actually like full blown feminism. But the thing that I think is kind of interesting, and I know like a lot of people are kind of upset about this whole idea because they're like, well, if it was all white men directing something, wouldn't everybody get mad? If it was all black people directing things, wouldn't everybody get kind of mad? And it's one of those situations where I think it honestly doesn't matter.
Not to me. I mean, I applaud them for doing it. I'll be interested to see what the rest of the world thinks. But no,
I think it's just a publicity stunt, honestly.
It is. I mean, pretty much the way I've always thought is find the best person that fits your needs. If the best people that fit your needs, because this is starring a woman from a woman's point of view, then yeah, obviously you need a woman director. Because honestly, a male director probably wouldn't get whatever the story is.
I think that they could. I just think that it might be done wrong. I've seen a lot of films, especially on Netflix, that are trying to portray feminism, but it's a male director that completely misses the mark. Like, for example, Contracted and Contracted 2 are perfect examples of like them kind of trying to hit feminism, but like missing the dartboard completely and throwing a dart at the wall.
Really?
Same thing with Teeth. If you've ever seen Teeth, they try to do this like big feministic thing, but it doesn't work. It feels misogynistic.
Hmm. Well, we'll definitely see what happens. And ladies and gentlemen, if you like that next season, Jessica Jones, or you hate it, let us know at the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Facebook page or the one for television.
Yeah. Television will hear you out, too.
We'd be really curious to see what you guys think. And when we're coming up, we're going to be talking about a possible of a robot plow and Time Warner.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. Now, there is a thing called the Kobe, and it runs for about $4,000, and it is supposed to take over your yard work, so it will plow your snow and mow your lawn. Now, essentially what this thing is, and it looks kind of cheaply made. I'll show you a picture.
It does kind of look like Fisher-Price.
It really does.
My first lawnmower.
So what you have to do is you have to like show it its parameters before you even like start it. So you like manually guide it around so it knows its parameters and make sure it doesn't drive out of bounds into traffic, into trees and that sort of thing. And then it goes and uses those beacons to navigate around your yard, and it'll, I guess, essentially pile your leaves up, mow your lawn, and shovel snow.
According to some people I know, that's why they had kids.
Yeah, that's, you know, the original Kobe, right? So what?
Hey, Kobe, you missed a spot.
One of the things that is kind of interesting about it is it has a few cameras and sensors, so that way it doesn't run over your dog.
Thanks for thinking about that.
So this isn't like the first time that this has been a thing. I know there has been there's been a couple things that have been out there, like robots with like treads and then like a plow to like plow your lawn. I feel like it's almost more work to get a robot to do it than to just do it yourself.
And I know the robot lawnmower has been around for at least a decade or more.
I've seen a few times where somebody will attach a rope to the steering wheel of their lawnmower and put a stake in the middle of their grounds. And then put like a brick on the pedal and just let the lawnmower ride around in circles until the lawn is completely...
I think it's safer just to get the Kobe and walk around your yard.
Yeah, I know. This is like really dumb, but it's something that I've seen in the past.
Wow. Dude, if you're doing that, more power to you and your insurance broker.
Yeah.
And if I got to say, if I had a really big yard, this would be something I could see using. The thing is, the yard has to be pretty big. I mean, you're not living in suburbia and getting this. I think this is something that's more close to country living when your yard is described in acres, not feet.
Essentially what this is like, it's basically a Roomba for your yard.
But if you live in suburbia, I don't understand the point of it. I don't know anybody in Sacramento whose yard work is so hard that you have to buy basically a vacuum, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Would you get this?
Definitely not. It seems kind of dumb to me, honestly.
I don't like snow, so I've never had to plow anything, thank God. But I don't know. I really don't understand the point of this. I don't get it, really.
Yeah.
I'm wondering,
I think it might even work better because I've seen a lot of homemade ones where they're on treads or they have like snow tires and that sort of thing. I'm wondering if you could build one that's remote controlled.
So,
I think that would work a little better.
So I have an idea. So imagine your parents when they get a little older and they can't, plow or they can't do yard work anymore. This would be perfect. Say for some reason you're just too busy, your kids are too busy. You set this up for them. This trims the yard, rakes the leaves, plows the driveway so they can go out.
I suppose. It kind of reminds me a little. That whole scenario reminds me of a movie I saw on Netflix once called Robot and Frank. So what they do is they actually buy their dad a robot because he has Alzheimer's, and it's supposed to help him learn to get a little bit better, to help him with daily tasks and that sort of thing. Well, Frank is a former jewel thief, so he teaches the robot how to steal, and they go and they steal things from people that they don't like.
That's hilarious.
It's actually kind of a cute movie. But no, I don't know. Like, now that I'm looking at some more pictures of it, it does look bigger than it originally looked in the picture. I'm looking at a GIF set of it. And I don't know. If you've got the money for this, then I guess this is kind of cool. I just feel like this is a solution waiting for a problem.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I don't really understand the use case for it, but like you said, if you have the money, go for it.
Now, one of the things that's also kind of interesting that's going on right now is AT&T is trying to buy Time Warner. So your Batman movie might be made by your phone company next time.
Ugh. Now, here's the reason why I'm against this is you've heard of the term Ma Bell, right?
Yeah.
But what happened back in the day is AT&T got broken up into a lot of smaller companies because they were huge and they were a monopoly. Now, AT&T bought DirecTV. AT&T's probably most likely, if it clears the FCC, going to buy Time Warner Cable. No, is it the cable company and the ISP too?
I think it's the whole company.
Okay, so they're going to buy the whole thing. And then you had Comcast who bought NBC Universal. And eventually one of those two are going to try to buy each other. I think for me and you, this is a bad idea. I didn't like the fact AT&T got permission to buy DirecTV too.
Now, one of the things that I don't think is going to be, I don't think it's going to be too big of a problem. I feel like if AT&T does get involved, it's going to be the Time Warner is going to be the same thing, just with new management.
See, here's what I'm worried about is Time Warner Cable, if I remember correctly, also does internet.
Right.
So does AT&T. So what happens if two of the biggest companies who provide internet for the United States, they buy each other, And then all of a sudden, your, you know, $50 internet plan is now $150.
Right. Well, and it's kind of scary, too, because Xfinity and Comcast have been buying up a bunch of companies, too. And so has Apple. So I'm getting really worried. And I know there's like a theory that there are only really four companies that own everything media related. I'm more worried that that's going to become more and more apparent, like that we're going to get fewer companies.
Apple buying companies doesn't bother me as much because Apple has a history of buying companies, obviously dissolving them, but using the technology and using it well.
Yeah, I feel like AT&T is just going to leave things status quo and rake in some money.
That's the thing I'm going to see is they're going to say, hey, they have an internet plan for $50. Let's raise that $20, put a cap of 250 gigs and call it our low cost plan. I just don't like it. And maybe it's the tinfoil hat in me. I don't see anything going well with this. And I really do hope it gets shot down. Now, it really depends on your Congress critter, honestly. I mean, the FCC can approve it. But if you don't like this in the United States, you need to talk to your congressman, whoever, and say, we need you to look into this. Because honestly, that's why you elect them.
I saw a clickbait post. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with clickbait. But clickbait is all that stuff that says, like, hot Russians looking for husbands and that sort of thing. Like, things that catch your attention, so you click on them, like these weird photos from the 20s.
It's called social engineering. It's things that they know you're going to click on just by the title.
So I saw a clickbait thing the other day, and I didn't click it, but I always love seeing these things. I see a lot of them on Yahoo. Now, it was saying that a vote for President Trump will ensure that Time Warner is not bought by AT&T, as if the president has anything to do with this.
Honestly, Barack Obama, the current United States president, could probably, I don't know, stop it. But if he was against it, he could definitely, I think, get things in motion and say.
Oh, yeah. But to say that, like, going to do this, even though it didn't come out of his mouth, that sort of thing.
Now, to get off the politics side of it, we're kind of running to an end of this podcast. I know we talked a lot about the negatives, and I do kind of believe of looking at the positive and cons of everything. One of the positive side things about it is they could potentially make internet cheaper and maybe get faster.
And maybe we'll get some better DC movies.
Hopefully.
Because I think I liked Suicide Squad and I liked Batman vs. Superman. I know a lot of people didn't. But with AT&T involved, they might be kind of pushing more things to do a little bit better. Like Warner Brothers, I think, is a little bit too scared of their own stuff. So they don't put out all of the content. They cut it back a bit. And I think if AT&T gets involved, they'll be like, that's obviously not working, so we're going to just release the whole thing.
So this could be beneficial. I'm personally on the part of I think this is going to do more harm than good. But we'll see. I definitely think this is something that this is going to be.
I'm definitely not a fan of it. I don't like this idea. I'm very scared of this idea, but I feel like there's just nothing I can do.
No, I agree. I thought the same thing when Xfinity bought NBC Universal. The back of my mind was this is going to be dangerous. So far, it's kind of been status quo. So let's hope that it's going to be status quo or better. But ladies and gentlemen, Shay Northrup and I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode. You can catch other episodes at gsmcpodcast.com or what other places?
You can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can find us on gsmcpodcast.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Please hit us a line. We want to hear what you think. Did you like the show? Did you not like the show? Do you disagree with us? Please let us know.
And for Jonathan Charney
and Shay Northrup,
thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.